We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
One is a football guy obsessed with the Pats and their QB.
Brady can play till he's 50. Change my mind.
The other, a basketball guy who truly bleeds green.
But goddamn, the one thing that I love to do is sit down and watch the Boston Celtics at the end of the day.
Together, they make for a perfectly imperfect pair of Boston sports superfans.
We just become best friends, yep.
It's the Oddballs with Fitzy and Gilroy on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
I think if you look at that first year that he came here,
incredible.
Kevin Garnett was the MVP candidate. The second year before he got hurt, the Boston Celtics were on their way to winning 70 games. That's how good Kevin Garnett was. And the biggest thing he did, like Larry Bird, like Bill Russell, changed the culture of this team. You know, when you have Paul Pierce has been a great player all his life, but Paul Pierce became more of a great player when he was around Garnett, Ray Allen. He made Doc Rivers a better coach. So, I mean, if you think about what he did and his mindset and the way he brought these guys together, and they bought in.
Anything's possible. Anything's possible!
So, Thursday night, it was. I was here doing late night on Thursday night, and I'm just going through my Twitter timeline. I'm enjoying the day. The Celtics have a big double overtime victory over the Clippers going into the All-Star break. They take their record to 38-16. I mean, they have just been a story and a half this year. So I'm excited over that. And at the same time, I'm watching the video that they played at the Garden that night, announcing Kevin Garnett is going to have his number retired. You could not have had a happier Gilroy doing a three-hour program solo on Thursday night. And as I'm going through Twitter, I see you, and you're pouring cold water all over this Kevin Garnett thing, and you don't feel that he's deserving of having his number five retired.
I think Kevin Garnett, listen, for me to sit here and waste 30 seconds of mine and everyone else's time saying, Kevin Garnett is amazing. Wow, what a basketball player he was. What a career. I'm not going to bother saying a bunch of things that everyone else already knows. I just don't think, that's the door, let me get that. I just don't think that Garnett is like rafters worthy. Like, this is the greatest of the great. First of all, I think the Celtics have retired too many numbers.
They have. I agree with that.
One quarter of all numbers are now not available to be worn on the Boston Celtics.
I agree
That's
with
nuts.
That.
It's starting to make it now that it has less impact. Garnett was here for 6 years.
Yes.
Did he change the culture? Yes. Did they go to the NBA Finals in one-third of the seasons he was here? Yes. But it was just six seasons. Now, I know you can say, like, well, Gale Sayers only played like 4.5 years in the NFL, and he's in the Hall of Fame because of how impactful it was. There were reasons that cut his career short. Kevin Garnett was nothing short of awesome when he was here.
Yep.
He gave it all every night. I would get goosebumps every time. I would hear him scream at the end of the montage to get people fired up in the pregame ceremonies with the video on the Jumbotron. Still do to this day. And I miss him being on the team. Maybe I miss him more than anyone else. Guy's a Hall of Famer. Guy's an epic warrior on the court. 6 years, no one else can wear that number ever again. It needs to be remembered.
It does.
For that one championship.
It does. And I'll tell you why. So, and again, this goes beyond me just being a fan or a super fan. This is Doc Rivers in his post-game comments the other night. He's so eloquent, and he said it perfectly. He said that, you know, and let's not forget, Doc got here, and he was an unsuccessful coach here for many years before Kevin Garnett got here, to the point where I was doing the Celtics post-game show on their flagship station, and I got to tell you, for years, one of our biggest topics was fire Doc, because Doc came with all these accolades. He had just won Coach of the Year in Orlando for taking a team that had no talent on it and making them a 500 team. The Celtics come swooping in. They get him here. All this fanfare about getting this young upstart head coach with NBA success, and it doesn't work. Immediately, he and Paul Pierce, they clash. And you know, Paul Pierce doesn't want to conform to the way that Doc wants to coach. And Paul Pierce then pulls the thing that he pulled at the end of the Pacers series in 2006 with the head wrap. And it just got so ugly. And Paul Pierce was going to leave town.
They leaned on him too much. Well, that was the problem.
Of course they did. But he was going to leave town. He didn't want to be here anymore. And Doc Rivers was a year away from being fired. And if this never happens here, and he never gets fired, he gets fired, he never wins a championship, then he's not regarded as the coach that he is today. So Doc, in his post game, said that Kevin Garnett, and you just said this, Fitzy, he changed the culture here from what it was. And Doc knew that culture, unfortunately, very, very well, because he was a part of it for a few years. From what it was to what it still is today. So in other words, Kevin Garnett's impact is still having a lasting effect on the Boston Celtics today. And I think he's balls on right. He is. This team took a one-year nosedive after Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce left. 1 year without making the playoffs.
And everyone knew that was that had to happen. There had to be a tank year following. You don't just lose the greatest trio. At that point, they lost the duo. But it was a reboot.
It was a reboot, and but even that team that sucked, that had no talent, they continued to play the right way. And this team has played pretty much the right way since Kevin Garnett got here. He set the bar so much higher. He reset the expectations here in Boston, and the expectations that the city has for the team, and the expectations that the players have for themselves. And I feel like that part of Kevin Garnett, he may no longer be on the floor here, may no longer be on the court for the Celtics, but what he brought, the impact that he brought, the effect that he brought, is still something that is felt by these players today, and that's why his number five is going up.
Is it just Kevin Garnett, or could you say that about the big three? Ray Allen leaves 1 year before Pierce and Garnett are traded, and I remember there was the falling out, and they were pissed at him for leaving. They didn't want him to bail. They wanted him to try to stick it out one more year together, or at least they all. It seemed like they had a pact to all go out together at the same time, and then Ray Allen bails. Was it because he couldn't handle Rondo anymore? He couldn't handle Doc Brown, or he just kind of wanted to go do his own thing? I don't know. He takes 3 for 9, goes down, wins a title, hits that huge shot with the Heat. Jerk. You know, and I can understand them being pissed too, but if we're talking about people that made an impact, why wouldn't Ray Allen be considered? Just because look at the games that the guy had that year, and who bailed them out in the finals more than Ray Allen did?
Ray Allen was a spectacular player here for the Celtics, but he did not have the same type of lasting impact. Ray Allen's lasting memory here, unfortunately, has been stained and tainted because of the way that he left, because of the way that it ended. And that plays a part in this whole thing, where Kevin Garnett goes out as, you know, I know he played for Brooklyn. I know that he played for Minnesota one more time, but he really goes out as a Celtic. The 6 years that he had here, I think, more clearly define him than the 12 years he spent in Minnesota.
Oh, get out of town.
No, I do, because this is where he won.
That's where he became a sensation.
No, but it's so much of a sensation that he was barely able to be a playoff guy. I mean, he went to the Western Conference Finals one time. One time, and it's because he had a Sam Cassell at the top of his career and Wally Zerbiak in the 1 year that he wasn't
injured. He couldn't do it all himself either. That's the whole problem. Paul Pierce, they were the perfect match for each other. I think you should always be able to remember the big three as a special part of Celtics history. I like the idea, I couldn't believe that I agreed with him during the show. I'm going to say it again, but yesterday on the Greg Hill Show, Curtis said to him, The best thing that they could have done was, instead of putting the number in the rafters, because they're just retiring every third, literally they have now retired every fourth number in Celtics history, was to have a huge mural or just paint not just in the locker room, like out there so the fans can see, or like and in the concourse, in the walkway, when you walk in, it should say anything is possible. And that way you will always think of Kevin Garnett, and that's how he needs to be remembered. Not by having that number up there taken so no one can ever wear it again, because that's how he needs to be remembered.
So not for nothing, Fitzy. You know, the Celtics, their requirements to put a number up are lax, and I'll tell you that the right
way... this is one of those things. This is like a Hall of Fame discussion. Like, what are the requirements?
The right way to do it, I think, is the way the Lakers do it. They're few and far between, and they're only the best of the best. But this is what the Celtics have done. So are you suggesting that Kevin Garnett gets punished essentially because they were too lax for all those years? You know what I mean?
Yes.
I don't think that's fair. I don't think it's fair at all. I think that Kevin Garnett's impact.
Am I moving the goalposts here? Because I feel like
we're doing it by
a standard the Celtics have already set. So my issue, okay, I'm willing to pull back and say this. Maybe it's not about Kevin Garnett. Maybe this is more of a Celtics issue because they retire too many numbers and the process has been watered down.
I don't know if you heard Wick Grosbeck speaking after the game the other day. But
I did not.
He said, and Chris Forsberg had a nice little interview with him, and Wick said he knew from the moment Kevin Garnett showed up in Boston that they were going to be retiring his number. And that's, to me, part of the systemic problem the Celtics have is it's almost an expectation, if you're a great player here, that you're going to have your number retired. But I don't think that Kevin Garnett should be punished because their rules here are
You know
lax.
Who does let me tell you, you know, of course you're going to then, I know exactly what
you're
going to
say. You're
going to
say the Patriots, right?
Yes, but they do it the right way. Having the Patriots Hall of Fame there and not retiring numbers, like no one's ever going to wear 12 again, obviously, because that would be an insult. And that goes without saying.
I heard Stidham wants it.
Stidham's wearing Vinatieri, and 4 carries a lot of weight around here as well. But you don't wear 12 again. But having a Hall of Fame, having the red jacket ceremonies, allowing the fans to then contribute to the process by helping them choose who needs to be remembered, like Rodney Harrison was just inducted this past year into the Patriots
yes.
Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Now, Rodney Harrison, I think, should also be in the NFL Hall of Fame, in my opinion. But being in the Patriots Hall of Fame matters, and that's the right way to do it. The Celtics are starting to treat the rafters and the retirement of numbers like the Boston Celtics Hall of Fame. They should only retire the best of the best of the best of the best of the best. There should be maybe 10 or 12 up there, not now soon to be 24. And they should have a Celtics Hall of Fame. And then you retire, and then you put Kevin Garnett in the Celtics Hall of Fame. And then you have the quote. And then you have a big three retrospective. And anything is possible is playing on a loop along with KG highlights and the screaming face and everything. That makes more sense to me. Not retiring his number so no one else can ever wear it.
The moment where Kevin Garnett is standing on the floor next year, probably going to be halftime of a game, and he's pulling on the ropes and his number's going up is going to be a moment that's lastful and impacting for Celtics fans because that is the celebration that we're accustomed to. When you see Kevin Garnett do that, I think back to watching Larry's number go up with Red Auerbach pulling on the rope with him. This is something that has been a part of Celtic history and Celtic lore forever, and you're suggesting we
Paul
take
Pierce,
it away.
Paul Pierce, who already had a storied enough career with the Celtics for everything he gave, everything he meant, and literally carrying the team on his back and almost dying in the process.
That's right.
When they had Paul Pierce night, that to me, like Paul Pierce's career, that to me, the highlight of it was the big three and the run that they had together. I'll always think of them together. And Kevin Garnett may even be head and shoulders above the other two guys when you think back to the big three. But retiring the night, to me, it just seemed a little much.
So go back and remember when all this happened and the Celtics were able to get Kevin Garnett. They had tried to get Garnett a month prior.
We got to double retire McHale's number, by the way.
I know. So Kevin Garnett, he didn't want to come until the Celtics got Ray Allen. But I'll never forget the night when they traded for Ray Allen on draft night. We were doing a show. And at that time, Kevin Garnett wasn't even a rumor because Kevin made it very clear that he didn't want to play in Boston. He still had racial concerns about the city. There was a lot of reasons why he didn't want to play here. So we did an entire show talking about the Celtics now having an aging Paul Pierce and an aging Ray Allen, and what is that going to do for this team? Ray Allen was coming off 2 years where he missed multiple games, almost an entire season with double ankle surgery at one point. So he was really towards the tail end of his career. That's what it looked like, and then he came here, he had a career renaissance. My point is this. Without Kevin Garnett, the Celtics would have been a 48-50 win team that got bounced in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin Garnett is the guy that made all the difference in the world. So it is Sports Radio, WEI. It's Fitzy, it's Gilroy. Room for you guys here today at 617-779-7937. Let's grab some calls here. Let's go to Mike. Mike's in Framingham. Mike, you are first up here on WEI, but my clicker's not working, Drew. So if you could pull up Mike, I would appreciate that very much. Hey, Mike, what's going on, man?
Hey, doing the one that said that Garnett's more recognized as a Celtic. Maybe it's because I'm from Boston. I feel that way too. He's almost like you said, like Rodney Harrison. Everyone thinks of him as a Patriot. And Bill Walton. Bill Walton won a championship in Portland, but everyone thinks of him as a Celtic when he's on TV.
And he only spent 2 years as a Celtic, and one of them he wasn't healthy. But it's the same thing. He had the same type of impact. You're exactly right, Mike.
So if Walton played for what? 4 or 5 years, then he belongs up there too. Can Bill Walton look?
Didn't he wear five?
Is he going to get to look up there and go?
Yeah, Walton's number's going up.
When I look at that number five up there, one third of that belongs to me, Bill Walton.
Hold on. That's not what I said. I said, no, were there more recognized?
Mike, I'm just joking with Patrick, not you, buddy.
Okay.
So, Mike, what else you got? Is that it?
No, that was it.
All right, man. I appreciate the phone call. It's good stuff there.
No, but seriously, one third of that belongs to me. It's terrible that they wouldn't think of the great Bill Walton when they look at number five in the rafters.
What do you think about his comparison, though, to Rodney Harrison? I mean, I think that carries some weight. Rodney Harrison, I think of him as a Patriot. Maybe it's because I'm from here, but he
played for more years on the Chargers.
Yep.
So it's a great comp. And he's in the Patriots Hall of Fame.
Well, that's because the Patriots have a different sort of, they have a different way of celebrating their players. Whether it's right or wrong, it's just different.
Right.
And the Celtics have been doing something for a very long time. And when you are a storied franchise like the Celtics, you can't just flip the script and change the rules halfway down the line. You can't do it.
So are people going to be like half numbers?
Sure. Why not?
Dash A? Are they going to be the first basketball team with triple-digit jerseys?
They could be. And if you're an overweight player with a triple-digit jersey, that's a tough look. It could really happen, though. I mean, look, here's the thing. You don't want to worry about this for a long time. And I talked about this the other night. It's unfortunate, but once Kevin Garnett goes up, it's clear that Ray is not going up. Gordon Hayward has his number. Rondo's not going up. Brad Wanamaker has his number. So it's going to be 20 years if and when maybe Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, if Kemba Walker's second half of his career is, you know, complete with a championship or two. But it's going to be 20 years before another number even has the possibility of going up.
Correct.
So you don't have to worry about the numbers.
This will be the last time, so we don't have to worry about it?
Yeah, you don't have to worry about it. It's going to go away for a while. The problem is just going to go away.
That makes it okay? then let's just cheat our way to a championship and hope it just goes away. No one will talk about it in 20 years.
It is Sports Radio. WEI, it's Fitzy, it's Gilroy. Room for you guys. When we come back, it's 617-779-7937.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Oddballs with Fitzy and Gilroy on WEEI.
Well, I think he was a great teammate. You know, I don't think that gets enough play. He was a phenomenal teammate. He was all about winning. You know, his IQ was incredible. It was off the charts, you know. And, you know, I've often said about him, he's the greatest superstar role player ever. Like, he was a superstar, but he played his role for the team anyway, somehow. I don't know how he did that, but he did it. You know, he changed the culture of this franchise. He really did. You know, we needed a guy like that to come to the franchise, and he did that, and it's still here. You know, it hasn't left since. So that was all Garnett.
Former Celtic head coach Doc Rivers, now head coach of the Clippers, of course, and in his post-game press conference the other night, he nails it right there. He said the culture needed to be changed, and the effect is still here today. And that's, again, why I feel like at the end of the day, when we sit here and we discuss Kevin Garnett and whether his number deserves to be retired or not, yeah, Fitzy can talk about the fact that he was only here for 6 years. And certainly for those people that don't believe that Kevin Garnett's number belongs in the rafters, that's one of their go-to things. They say, well, he was only here for 6 years. How can you possibly take that number away for an eternity in exchange for somebody that only played here for 6 years? The answer to that question, Doc Rivers eloquently just said it. The answer to that question is very simple. It's that the effect that he had has lasted longer than 6 years. It's been more than 6 years since Kevin Garnett has left the Celtics, right? And that effect is still being felt today. And I think that's ultimately why his number goes to the rafters. The Celtics, they don't have a Ring of Honor. They don't have a Celtics Hall of Fame. They simply don't have those things. And if they started one today, in lieu of continuing to put numbers in the rafters, then what are we doing here? What are we doing? So all these other players, they got to experience this moment that they'll have for the remainder of their lives, and a moment that their families will have for the remainder of their lives, and a moment the fans will have for the remainder of their lives. It's one of those moments where you're never going to forget it. You know, these things are lasting and impactful to me as a Celtics fan. I still have Larry Bird Night. It took two VHS tapes to tape Larry Bird Night. I've got them. It was 12 years old when that happened, and those tapes are two of the only things I haven't lost over the years between moving houses and, you know, divorces and deaths and everything else. Those tapes, they're prized possessions to me, and I'll go back and I'll watch it occasionally. I was at Reggie Lewis Night. Myself and my buddy Eric, we went to Reggie Lewis Night, and that was one of the most moving, emotional experiences of my life as a Celtics fan, listening to Reggie's wife, Donna Harris, get up there at halftime and say that, recite this poem, and they put his number up, and it's just an unforgettable moment. And Kevin Garnett's going to get his unforgettable moment. And Fitzy, you're not alone here. I mean, there's a good a percentage of the population here in New England, and it shocked me, that simply do not want to see his number go up, and I just don't understand it.
It's not about not wanting to see his number go up. It's about disagreeing with the choice to put it up there. That's all. And I feel like now all of a sudden every one of us, like, we're being shamed, like, oh, you're a bad fan, or why? How could you, the stupid take, or you're an idiot. I mean, like, listen, all I have to do is just tweet or breathe or wake up, and I'll be hearing all those things anyway. But it's like you just can't voice an opinion anymore. Well, but especially in this regard, that you're a bad fan, or you didn't appreciate what he did, or you're underestimating, or you're diminishing the contributions he made. No, it's just, like, to me, it should be Russell and Cousy and Bird and McHale and Havlicek, and maybe one or two others. That's, I mean, really, who else deserves to be, and Paul Pierce?
Look,
who else deserves, there's 15 other guys up there.
I mean, Dennis Johnson's up there, Maxwell's up there.
And honestly, they don't necessarily, they should, I don't think they should have their numbers
and
up either.
And that's my point. That's my point right there, is if those guys are going to be up there and have their moment, then Kevin Garnett gets his. That's my overall point here, is, you know, again,
to which I said earlier, I think this is more of an organizational issue than this is a personal issue.
It is. And the issue for the organization now is, you know, this whole,
well, they're already down that road.
You can't go back now. You can't go back, and, you know, you can't really, you could create a Celtics Hall of Fame if you wanted, but I don't think it'll have the same type of impact or legacy, because let's say that you developed a Celtics Hall of Fame and you made it much harder to get your number retired. It's almost like the people that get inducted into the Celtics Hall of Fame still wouldn't reach the top honor that they're looking for. And it would almost be like a second place finish. And that defeats the purpose of having a team Hall of Fame. So the Correct. Celtics are so far down this road that there's no going back now.
Right. So they're just going to have to keep doing it at this point now. But, like, is Kevin Garnett now the baseline for it? Or, like, will someone else come in and maybe, like, play 4 years, win two championships? Like, let's say Kemba Walker plays for 4 years. They go to two finals and win one. Does he get in there?
No, I don't think so, because he didn't change the culture.
But he wasn't Kyrie, and he was a pleasant respite from the way Kyrie played, and it was a sea change, and there was a tone change.
There was, but the culture wasn't broken for two decades like it was before KG got here. The culture had been broken since Reggie Lewis died. really, you can trace everything back to the day Reggie Lewis died. And the Celtics were lost in this muck and mire of mediocrity and being terrible. I mean, it seemed like every year they were barely an 8 seed or going into the lottery. It was a mess. You give Purvis Ellison a ton of money. You got A.C. Earl out there. David Wesley and Rick Fox are going to turn the team around. I mean, really. And then when they lowered all the banners down and had the coronation for Rick Pitino, that was really, to me, the lowest of the low, because not only did you do that for Rick Pitino, Rick Pitino fired Red Auerbach. He fired Red. He said, I'll come here, but I need to be president too. So Red got shoved aside. Thankfully, the first thing that the new owners did when they came in was they rehired Red and they put him back where he belonged as the president of the organization. But the Celtics made every wrong decision for 2.5 decades.
Yep.
Kevin Garnett got here and he changed it all in the blink of an eye. And that, like Doc said, that change is still being felt today. So while his play on the court only lasted 6 years, Fitzy, his impact has lasted another 6. So now it's a 12-year impact. And it's going to continue to be impactful unless or until the Celtics wind up being mired in mediocrity again.
So as we hit All-Star Weekend, just to sort of like step back, now that the Celtics have, you know, turned the corner thanks to Kevin Garnett, and now we'll turn the corner and then we'll raise it to the rafters. Are you happy with where this team is right now?
Are you
have to be, considering that I think you, among the many, you probably thought they were going to be a little bit more than the likes of Ordway and I and other people who had them pegged as a 49-win team.
Yeah.
Are you happier with where they are right now than you thought you would be at the All-Star break?
Yeah, I am. I'm kind of thrilled with where they are. Look, they're 38-16. The problem,
that's far past what any of us, 54 games in, they're playing to an almost 700 winning percentage.
It's crazy. Nobody expected this. But the one thing I'll say is this, and this is what gives me the most amount of optimism when it comes to the Celtics, is you can't have your team be a championship contender with Kemba Walker as your best player. And coming into the season, Kemba was their best player. And I think I said it at the beginning of the season, and I know I've said it throughout the season, but whether it was Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum, somebody had to step up and grab sort of being this team's anchor by the balls and do it. And Tatum has done it. He has elevated his game. He's averaging almost 23 points a game right now. He's hitting shots in the clutch, and Kemba Walker is willing to defer to him. And this is what makes this team special. You got Kemba Walker not getting jealous, but he's actually putting Tatum in positions to succeed. So Kemba, instead of saying, no, I'm the man. I'm the multi-time all-star. I'm the guy you guys brought in here to replace Kyrie. This is my team. No, he's embracing being a secondary star to Jason Tatum. Jaylen Brown, he didn't make the All-Star team. Instead of being upset about that, he played some of his best basketball of the season after the fact. And Hayward, he's just happy to be out there. He's happy to be contributing.
Yeah, and there's three guys right there who you just brought up who have respectively between 28.75 and 32 million reasons why they should be very happy with the way the team is playing and the role that they have on the team. They're all doing exactly what they need to be doing on this team. Kemba could have taken a massive contract possibly somewhere else, or maybe even stayed in Charlotte. And you know what he wouldn't have a chance to do? Win.
So
just what Adrian asked Rocky to do right before the rematch in Rocky 2. Win.
And that's it. So the Celtics...
And that matters a ton to these guys. A ton.
Now, the only thing that upsets me about where they are right now is not their record. It's what they don't have control over. So nobody thought that Toronto would be at the pace that they're on this year. They lost their best player. They lost, you know, one of the best players, if not the best player in the league. And Toronto hasn't skipped a beat. They mm-hmm. haven't missed a beat. Siakam has just taken his game up to an entirely different level. He has become their glue. And Toronto right now is that 2 seed. The Celtics, if they want to have a prolonged playoff push, they need to somehow keep pace with Toronto and grab that 2 seed. Because by grabbing the 2 seed, A, you get, it looks like, one hell of a first-round matchup, because it's going to looks like 2-7 is going to be whoever the 2 seed is versus Brooklyn, which would just be flipping delicious to get Kyrie in here for the first round. But by having the 2 seed, you get to avoid Milwaukee until a conference final. And Milwaukee is the one team in the Eastern Conference that is head and shoulders better than the Celtics today.
Yep.
Whether the Celtics can beat them or not in a 7-game series, I wouldn't count them out, but it would be a pretty significant upset for the Celtics to beat Milwaukee right now in a 7-game series. And again, for this team to take their next step and for me to be happy with where they are at the end of the season, they got to get back to the conference final at a minimum. That was the peak when they had Isaiah Thomas and Al Horford here. It was the peak a few years back, led by Tatum and Brown. I can't accept anything less than that and still consider it a successful season.
Weren't we told, though, a few weeks back that it's a loser's mentality to be excited just about a conference finals appearance?
People tell me that all the time. But again, I don't
understand why that's a loser. But we're not putting a ceiling on them.
That's the thing.
But we're like they're saying like that's like the that point we're defining them. We're putting a ceiling on them. That's the restrictor plate on their potential for the season. Like, you guys can't go better than this. So get there, and then we can all, like, settle down, and we can have Chips Ahoy and Capri Suns.
So
no,
I think
not what we're saying. It would just be a great achievement to go two rounds further than they did last year, to win 10 games more, and play to more than the potential we thought this team had, given that it was last year's team that we thought had championship and finals potential.
So you go back to a couple of years ago, four years ago, when the Celtics went to the conference finals, led by Isaiah and Al Horford.
Mm-hmm.
That was their ceiling. You know, those guys maximized their potential to get the Celtics where they were that year. Jason Tatum...
Without Hayward and without Kyrie, though, they outkicked their expectations.
I'm not talking about that team. I'm talking about the year prior. They still went to the conference finals the year prior, and they were led by Al Horford and Isaiah Thomas. So
and got absolutely obliterated.
Exactly. But that team had reached their pinnacle. That was the as far as they could go, mm-hmm. led by that talent level.
Absolutely.
Right now, the Celtics are led by a 21-year-old Jason Tatum. So if they get back to a conference final this year, Jaylen Brown is 23. You got guys here. This is Kemba's first year in Boston. It's the first time that Hayward looks like he's got a chance to be relatively healthy. So you can certainly sell me on the idea that this would simply be a stepping stone to something bigger next year, mm-hmm. because this team has not scratched the surface of their potential. Scottie Pippen was on The Jump the other day talking about Jason Tatum, and he feels like Tatum is a legit superstar today, but he feels like next year is going to be the year where he elevates into that next level of star in the NBA. He's got a little bit more growing to do in his body, but he's just about there.
He's 21, for God's sakes. We'll say he looks noticeably bigger.
He does.
And he's playing a different... I see him playing a different brand of basketball than he was 2 years ago. Last year, I don't even know what the hell anybody was doing last year, just avoiding a Kyrie's death stare, by and large.
What he's done is to change two different elements of his game, and it's completely changed everything. First of all, he still takes the mid-range jumper, but not nearly as much. He has expanded his ability to hit the three and to hit the three on the move, hit the three on the catch. I mean, he's really developed a nice three-point game. But the most important thing that he's done, by putting on that strength without sacrificing speed, he's got the ability to get to the free throw line. Mm-hmm. And if he's taking, you know, consistently 8, 10, 12, 14 free throws a night, that's how you take your scoring average from 17 to 27.
And where was he the other night when they needed him the most in the game? Against the Clippers, driving to the hoop.
Yep.
He was passing up easy threes or contested fadeaways, and he was driving to the hoop and trying to make baskets and make three-point plays happen.
It is Sports Radio, WEI. It's Fitzy. It's Gilroy. Room for you guys at 617-779-7937. Let's grab another call here. Let's go to Blair. Blair is in Maine. Drew, I can't do it. Thank you. Blair, what's going on, man?
Nothing much. How about you guys?
Oh, another day in paradise, my friend.
Hey, I did do what you were asking me to do. I did it right away.
I know. I appreciate that. I was in meetings all day yesterday, but I'll be in touch.
Yeah. I left them your number, so hopefully they called you back.
Okay.
So, yeah. Anyways, they'll call you when they get, I guess, did they call you?
I don't know, but we can talk about it off the air, Blair.
Yeah. Okay, cool. The whole Mookie Betts trade, it's a done deal. Mookie Betts is, and David Price is at the Dodgers, and hopefully Mookie stays more than 1 year and several years, and that Dodger team is probably going to be a real series team, right?
I mean, they were just there before, and they added Mookie Betts and David Price. So, yeah, I feel like that Dodgers team is a really good team.
Yeah, they were a really good team before then. But they're an even better team now.
Yep.
And looking at the Red Sox, I don't know. Red Sox might be okay, but they're not going to be as good without Mookie Betts and David Price, right?
Well, you can't be as good, Blair. The Red Sox will only go as far this season. That last year, the funny thing is people forget that the 2019 team actually scored more runs than the 2018 team, which went on to win the World Series and defeat these very same, well, now different, same team, the Dodgers, okay? And by the way, the same way I mentioned earlier that Kevin McHale should have his number re-retired
sure.
on Kevin Garnett night, he better be there helping him pull that number up to the rafters. That would be an ironic, inappropriate twist. I feel like
it was cool. Kevin McHale called the game the other night when they made the announcement. It was cool to have Kevin McHale in the building, and he had some things to say. And you know, look,
that's pretty great. It's pretty great. But in the same way, when we're talking about the 2018 Red Sox World Series champions, Dave Roberts should have his number. There's someone who should now officially finally have his number retired, even though he played half a season, made one amazing play, and helped the Red Sox with some of the worst World Series managing and bullpen management in history. This team will only go as far as the pitching. I guarantee you they will be top three in the American League in runs scored, probably just behind the Yankees and the Twins, because the Twins have an absolute wagon when it comes to offense. That's a beer league softball team that they've put together out there in Minnesota now, adding Josh Donaldson on a pretty good deal. The Red Sox, they're going to score a ton of runs. Can they pitch? And it's amazing when you look right now, Gilroy, there are still so many free agents. There are still so many people. I don't understand what has happened with Major League Baseball free agency. There's no drama behind it anymore. There's no big announcement. You can go find, everyone is freaking out about, you know, Tom Brady being a free agent. We have a sponsored thing here on the station, yep. Brady Watch. Everyone's talking about when free agency happens. Is this tampering? Is this the legal tampering period? What's going on? Who's going where? No one cares in baseball. There's still glue guys like Brock Holt and, you know, perennial, you know, all former all-stars and starters that are just sort of sitting out there right now. I don't understand what in the world has happened. But as far as this team, they will only go as far as the pitching, because that was equally important, if not more so, in 2018 when they won, just as it was last year when it failed to show up and they stunk.
The cruel irony of this entire thing is that, look, position players that are great players, they don't necessarily translate to winning in baseball, right? So look at Mike Trout. Mike Trout he's the best player in baseball, mm-hmm. but he doesn't get to the playoffs. So a guy like Mookie Betts isn't going to...
Mike Trout is Paul Pierce. He's trying to do it all by himself.
Exactly. So losing one phenomenal position player is not going to make or break your season, but the cruel irony is that David Price, for as much of a jackass as he is, and as unlikable as he is, and for as overpaid as he is, he was the glue to their starting rotation. He was the guy most likely...
Last year, because Eovaldi and Sale were hurt.
Exactly.
If they're healthy enough to make 25 starts apiece this season, then he wouldn't be.
But that's a big if. Look at their history. Both of those guys have got such a significant injury history where when you say, you know, if they do this, it's more likely than not that they aren't able to accomplish that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like the turn of phrase there. That's one of my all-time favorites when it comes to New England.
That's what I'm here for.
More probable than not. I mean, when you look at the number, my God, it's unbelievable how many people are still... You could put together an all-star team. You could go through Major League Baseball's free agency ranks right now, and you could absolutely put together an all-star team. It's surreal.
But it's another thing that baseball does incorrectly. I mean, look at the NFL, look at the NBA. Free agency has become a season to itself. It has become as captivating as the games to some people.
Right.
And meanwhile, in Major League Baseball, the season's getting underway, and you're talking about an all-star team that's unemployed right now.
Yeah, well, hey, listen, Red Sox, I don't want to tell you how to do your business, and Chaim Bloom struck me as somebody who knows what he's doing. But all I'm going to say is Clay Buchholz, still out there.
It is sports radio.
The devil you know, right?
It's Fitzy, it's Gilroy. Fitzy wants Clay Buchholz back in Boston. We'll be right back.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Now back to The Oddballs with Fitzy and Gilroy on WEEI.
You talked a lot about Jason's potential all year. Is that the best you've ever seen him play?
Thus far, yeah. He was incredible. He made every right play. He made every big shot. He was the best player on the course tonight.
What is it like watching him make this leap?
It's fun. I'm glad I'm able to be a part of it. It's special. He's been playing really well. But not only, you know, has he been scoring, he's been making the right play. You know, I think that's what's most important. You know, he's driving it, kicking. You know, he's reading defenders. He's doing all the right things.
It's Kemba Walker right there talking about his All-Star teammate. Well, actually, they're not teammates on the All-Star team. I got to correct myself. Each of them are on different teams, but his fellow All-Star, Jason Tatum.
All right, so how is this shaking out this year? I'm just ignorant to the new format or process or whatever's going on in the All-Star game.
There's two team captains. I believe it's Giannis and LeBron, and they draft their teams. So Tatum,
they're adopting that little Pro Bowl style thing.
Exactly. But the All-Star game itself usually doesn't really capture my attention. I find it's hard to watch. Mm-hmm. This year, though, they're doing something a little bit different in the fourth quarter. There's going to be no game clock in the fourth quarter, and I believe it's the first team to 24 wins.
And I think they're going to try, obviously, for Kobe, and I think they'll really try.
I do, too, in the fourth quarter. The first three quarters will be typical All-Star game.
Just a complete screw around.
Yeah, but I think they're really going to try, which is the goal here, to get some sort of captivating basketball back on the floor during the All-Star game. Because right now, it used to be an event. I mean, in the 80s, it was a thing.
They tried.
They did, but now it's just...
They never tried in the Pro Bowl, and... the NHL one's not really a big deal. It's like, they have a little hardest shot. Woo-hoo.
It's an afterthought.
Yeah, it's an afterthought. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of fun. It's diversionary fodder. It's entertainment, as all sports are and should be. But you want a little competitive integrity. You want a little action. No one cared. They tried to make it count in baseball, and I think we cared for a year. Then it got ridiculous.
Yep.
So, I mean, when should the All-Star games be? Do you like them midseason? Do you like them at the end of the year? I for one, thought for a second that sort of like mid-season awards or like the mid-season
tournament
in basketball was fun. Then I thought, no, it's too much.
So the mid-season tournament, I hope it doesn't happen because it's going to have playoffs.
Is it on the table?
It is. It's on the table as soon as the
year
after next.
How? How would that work out?
I don't think it's going to work out at all. But the NBA, what I'll give them credit for is that they've got a problem in their league right now. That teams tank and they're trying to find a way to keep competitive balance, something that matters from game one to game 82, because they don't want to alienate a huge chunk of fans, a huge portion of their fan base when your team is tanking. Suddenly, what? You don't go to the games, you're not as invested. Mm-hmm. So the NBA is trying to dissuade teams and find ways to dissuade teams from doing that. I don't think the midseason tournament's the way to go. I feel like it's just something that's going to be much too difficult to really manage and keep people's attention. It'll be too confusing. What, you play 50 games and then you shut it down for a couple of weeks, you play a tournament, then you get back to your originally scheduled programming? It doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
What is the 15th best team, or the second worst, if you will, in a conference going to do at a midseason tournament?
I don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense
to me. This sounds like the participation trophy tournament.
I do like where the All-Star game is at, though. I don't like that they've changed it or they've pushed it down to the point where, I mean, look at the Celtics right now. They're 38-16 on the season, so they've played, 52 games so far?
That's 54.
54 games, whatever. So when you look at that, once upon a time, it was legitimately done at the halfway point. It's not anymore. It's not even close anymore. So usually now what happens is, it's a very exciting finish after the All-Star game because now you're past the trade deadline. March 1st is really the deadline to pick up a player and have them be playoff eligible. So now you really start looking at playoff positioning and seeding and things like that. But I like where the All-Star game itself is at season-wise for the NBA, and I like where it is for Major League Baseball as well. When it comes to the Celtics, though, right now, they've got to worry about a few things. I mean, you want your guys to be healthy. They've struggled to have all four of their major horses healthy for more than a few games this season. And if you're going to make a playoff run, and if you're going to have a chance to compete against a team like Milwaukee, I've said this all season long, if the Celtics are going to beat the Bucks, they're going to have to beat the Bucks not trying to do what the Bucks do, but making the Bucks defend what the Celtics do best, meaning spread the offense around and have simply too many weapons on the floor, outscore them, outrun them, transition basketball. That's how you beat the Bucks.
You're gonna have to just up-tempo small ball them to death if you're gonna stay on the court with them at all. If I could make a suggestion for improving the ratings or relevance of the All-Star game, especially when you want to get a younger demographic to watch the game, be involved or talk about it, maybe don't have it on 8 o'clock. On a Sunday night.
Yeah, it should be a Sunday afternoon thing. It should be
on at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, it should be an afternoon thing.
Sorry. Right around when I have supper.
I can't sit and watch it with my son. We can watch a little
while.
That's
what I'm saying. Yeah. I can't sit tomorrow and watch this game. Jeez, I mean, I can't even really finish watching it because I got to be up for 6 o'clock Monday with Mutt and Wiggy, but I'll probably watch half. Not that like discussing the end results, but actually, no, I'm going to want to discuss what we think about that final quarter. So, yeah, it's on too late. I can't show it to my kid and be like, hey, this is this guy. He's from Greece. He's amazing. And here's the great, maybe one of the three greatest players to ever play the game. And even though he's in the twilight of his career, he's still unbelievable. And why are they doing this for 24 seconds for that guy you heard about in the helicopter? And, oh, these are the guys from Boston. Look how great they're playing. Like, nope, sorry.
You can't do it. And I'm surprised that the NBA hasn't caught on to this, because the NBA is so, they're so forward thinking. And you would think that they really would care about capturing the next generation of fans, which are my kid's age, your kid's age. And unfortunately,
and my kid loves going to Celtics games.
There's
loves
bedtime.
It.
But bedtime, you know as well as I do, the moment you screw up their routine, it takes a while to sort of get them back in.
We're 7 years in and we're still trying to figure it out.
Right, exactly. So
that's why my life is a dumpster fire and I star in my own hostage state.
It's not an easy thing to do. You know, but the All-Star game here, it's cool to have two Celtics in it this year. And it's something that I'll pay attention to, but it's not something that is must watch for me. It's not what it used to be to me. I'm more interested in tonight's events than I am in the All-Star game itself. I like the three-point shootout. I don't mind the dunk contest. I find those sorts of things unique and entertaining because guys are actually trying. If you're in the dunk contest, it may be silly. It may be stupid. There's a good story in the dunk contest this year. Dwight Howard's back in it. Last time he did it was 11 years ago. You know, Dwight Howard was essentially out of the league, embarrassed his way out of the league. He was a guy that was told, we were all told that he doesn't love the game anymore, that he was just somebody who was a drain on every team that he went to. But he's gone to the Lakers and he's had a little career renaissance, and now he's back in the dunk contest. He's finding joy in the game again. And I love the fact that there's an 11-year gap between his last performance and this one. I love the fact that he's a name recognition type of player and he's in the dunk contest. And the three-point shootout is always fun. Because let's face it, it's a skills competition. We all think that we're great three-point shooters. It, you know, it's just something that we can identify with. And I love watching a guy catch fire. I love watching these guys do what they do best. And I feel like tonight captures a lot of that better than the game itself does.
The three-point shootout is fun. But it's, I don't know why it's never been as fun. Is this just a generational thing? Is this just the novelty has worn off? Dunk contest was fun to me last time Vince Carter dunked over a car. And the three-point shootout hasn't been as much fun since Larry Bird took the last corner three with the money ball, put up his finger, and walked away.
It's a great video.
Because you'll never... like
in his warm-up jacket.
He pimped... Oh, God, which is why they probably sold out of those.
Yep.
There was no such thing as NBA.com, but at the Celtics Pro Shop, I'm sure those things were off the rack in seconds.
Yep.
He pimped that out so hard. There was so much swag in that. It was just... And see, and that's all you needed to do. That's something I think that people, they're right there. To me, he didn't do much, but that was such a bold statement. And I feel like there's just so much showboating, and there's just so much flexing, and like, oh, you got posterized, and screaming and yelling, and just like that's just that little tiny touch spoke so much, and here I am talking about it 30 some odd years later.
Yeah, it's one of the more memorable moments in the 3-point shootout.
Understated.
History.
You can, you know what, guys, current NBA players. I mean, who am I to tell them what
they
to
could
do?
Learn something.
Yeah, they could learn something from that. Like a little bit goes a long way sometimes.
It does. So it is Sports Radio WEI. 2 hours down, 2 hours to go. We've held off on this long enough, but when we come back, we have to check the health of Fitzy. I need to see how he's doing, how his doing psychologically, how he's doing physically, mentally, because with each passing day, it seems as if Tom Brady is getting further and further and further away from New England. And I'm worried about my friend Fitzy. We'll check in with him when we come back right here on Sports Radio WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.